Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Happy Monday, Memphis. Spring break for just about everybody in the city, I believe. School kids, I'm talking. It is certainly true for me. Normal work week for all the rest of you. Condolences on that. Matt Stark holding it down today on the Gary Parish Show. Today and tomorrow, if things go well. GP going to join us in just a moment. We're also going to visit today with David Cobb, Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Don't look now. Your Grizzlies have won three straight and are just a game and a half away from getting to ninth from the bottom, which is something. Team Convey the Pick, picking up steam. Jeff Calkins, he visits Gary every day at 5 o'clock. He'll visit with me today at 5. But first, his name is Gary Parish. He hosts the show every weekday. He's also a college basketball columnist, a TV analyst for CBS Sports, and he's the one very busy man this time of year. GP, you good?
What's up? You good?
I'm all right. How about yourself? I know, like, you're normally, like, crazy busy, but it feels like these next few weeks, like, you take it next level, correct?
Yeah, but at least you can sort of see the finish line at this point.
True.
I mean, it'll be less than a month from now where I can actually take my suitcase and put it up, you know, and look at my Delta profile and realize I don't have any flights booked. Look at my Marriott profile and realize I don't have any hotels booked. So I am looking forward to that. I won't be home often between now and April 9th, which is when, which is the day after the national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
But on April 9th, I'll be home consistently, and I'm looking forward to that.
Just off the top of your head, do you have any idea how many miles you fly in a year?
I don't, but it's a lot. You know, I'm approaching the million mile lifer thing.
Wow.
You know, like the miles, it's not as I don't know, jarring when you see it. What to me is jarring is you go to your Marriott profile and it says how many nights you've stayed in a Marriott property this year.
Oh, okay.
And you realize I'm spending a significant portion of my life
mm-hmm.
in a hotel.
Yeah.
And it's not like I say every time I discuss this stuff, it's awesome. I'm lucky to have these opportunities. I could quit some of them if I wanted to. But I choose not to because I do enjoy the work, but when I have to leave the house yesterday morning again and say goodbye to my children and wife once again, like it, there's a downside to it, undeniably.
Mm-hmm.
The pros outweigh the cons, or else I wouldn't be living this life. But it's not as sexy as you might think.
I saw that your other employer, aside from Entercom and 92.9 CBS, making a change to the selection show. I saw that this weekend. So they're going to go back, for those unfamiliar, they're going to go back to unveiling the teams in their bracket straight up, as opposed to last year when they announced the teams by alphabetical order and then they put them in the regions. And honestly, like, that drove me crazy. So I don't know if you did anything to lead the change, to change it back. And I'm not trying to get you like an NBA. Yeah, Coach, would you talk about the refs right now? Like, I'm not trying to do that. This is not a got you. But it feels like this was the right move by CBS that really had to be done. Like, last year it was a little bit crazy. I know everyone's got to do different things, particularly with the way things are hitting on social media and everybody knows a bracket in 10 seconds. And, you know, you're trying to keep people interested in a TV show. But I thought last year, I didn't think that was the answer. So I'm glad they're doing it the old way.
Yeah, I do it like, because everything you just said is the way it's being reported today. I've read all the stories. The truth is, last year, the selection show was on TNT. And so it was a TNT produced show. So CBS didn't have any say or had very little say over how the show could go. And so I don't want to speak for my bosses, But if the last season's show would have been on CBS, it would not have been that way. So I don't know that CBS is switching back as much as CBS is getting back control of the show.
Gotcha.
And so they're just doing it the way they would have done it last year if they would have been in control of the show. I mean, TNT and Turner in general is a fabulous partner. And you know, we end up working this month with a lot of those guys, like Charles and Kenny and Ernie. They come to New York for much of this month. And, you know, we'll be in the same, you know, studios with them, hanging out, you know, post-show drinks and dinners. And they're all terrific. But TNT and CBS do things in drastically different ways as it relates to doing a show. I mean, if you watch you know, the post-game CBS shows and then watch the post-game TNT shows, they're vastly different. I mean, Ernie and Charles and Kenny are just, they can cut Shaq, they can cut up, do whatever they want to do, however they want to do it, whereas we are a little more between the lines more often than not by design. And I'm not saying which is better or worse. I'm just saying they're very different. And so TNT just decided they wanted to be very different with the selection show last season, and because they were in control of it, they could. But I think I agree with the reviews of that you know, there's a certain rhythm to the selection show and the way we you know, the way the bracket is unveiled to us that has been established for decades, and getting back to a more traditional way of unveiling the bracket, I think is a smart thing. But it's not so much as CBS is deciding to go back based on what it did last season, as much as TNT was in control last season. They did it one way. CBS is in control this season. CBS is going to do it the way it's traditionally done it.
See, I don't even think I realized that. So you're dropping knowledge on us. Appreciate that. All right, let's start with those Memphis Tigers. Got a win the other night. Not a thing of beauty, but they got the W on senior night. So they finished at 19-12, 11-7 in the AAC. Identical record to a year ago in terms of wins, losses. 19-12 this year with Penny. 19-12 last year with Tubby. But that's, I guess, where all the comparisons end. As you have talked about ad nauseum on this show, I know, and others have talked about and written about, Tubby, dead man walking at this time a year ago, right? Penny, though, still the toast of the town. And I know that the college basketball world is no stranger to lightning-quick turnarounds, and I'm not saying that going from 19-12 to 19-12 is a lightning-quick turnaround, but in terms of the feel of the program, like, it just seems like a world of difference from March 2018 when at this point we still didn't know Tubby was going to get fired. We thought it, but like no one was 100%, right? And then March 2019, where everybody's, man, let's see what happens with the tournament in Memphis. And then worst case scenario, baby, we got James Wiseman and company coming on board next year and, you know, top 10 ranking or something along those lines.
Yeah, it was right around this time where I reported that Memphis is seriously considering firing Tubby Smith and replacing him with Penny Hardaway. It might have been, I want to say it was either Monday or Tuesday of this week. I don't know the exact date, but I remember having an initial conversation with somebody about it on the Sunday, which would have been yesterday, the Sunday before championship week gets started, the final Sunday of college basketball's regular season. I remember being in the airport and getting a call from somebody and saying, hey, I just wanted to bounce this off of you, but I'm hearing boom, boom, boom. And then somebody else, totally unrelated to the person I had just talked to, in the same day told me literally the same thing. And so I remember, you know, you've been reporting long enough, you go, okay, these two people aren't hearing the same thing from the same people. They're hearing because they're in different parts of the country, they're connected in different ways. One of them had no actual relationship to Memphis. He was just somebody who, you know, is familiar with the way the industry works. And so I knew there that there was really something to this, because I was getting it from two different reliable sources who couldn't, at least to me, be getting it from the same place. So this was starting to make its way around the country. And then, you know, it was either today or tomorrow of championship week where I reported, you know, that what ultimately happened. And you look up a year later, and when I first reported it, I think most Memphis fans were completely on board, but there was some pushback from some.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fire a coach after 2 years.
Yep.
You can't hire an AAU coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Memphis has been, you know, you got to give, you know, Tubby time. And you fast forward to March 11, 2019, and I can't imagine anybody would suggest that what Memphis did was anything other than a complete success. Yes, the record of this season's team is the same as the record of last season's team, but the team is not even comparable. One team, this one, overachieved. Last season's team, underachieved. And evidence of that is in the KenPom numbers that we've referenced a million times. Memphis started last season ranked 132nd at KenPom, finished 161st. This season, Memphis started at KenPom ranked 107th. They're 72nd right now. You know, this Memphis team probably going to go to the NIT if it doesn't get an NCAA tournament. Last year's Memphis team couldn't sniff the NIT.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond all of that, it's about the direction of the program more than it's about this team or that team. You know, Tubby Smith, if he would have returned, would have had a team similar to this Memphis team, I imagine. But then he'd be losing all of these seniors and replacing them with, based on the way they were recruiting at Memphis, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
At which point, next season, you would have been picked, I would assume, in the bottom half of the AAC. It would have been really, really bad. That's the thing people never quite understood. It wasn't that year one of Tubby was so bad and year two of Tubby was so bad. It was that year three wasn't going to be that much better, and year four was going to be a disaster when you lost all of these seniors. So you just contrast that with where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens in the AAC tournament this week happens. You know, like, you can dream of punching a ticket to the NCAA tournament by winning the auto bid, but if you don't, I don't want to say it doesn't matter because clearly it matters, but if you don't, boom, you immediately transition to looking ahead to next year where you've got
mm-hmm.
a top 10 recruiting class on the way, and it could end up being a top 5 recruiting class if they add Trendon Wofford as well. So contrast what the 2019-20 season is going to be, or it looks like going to be on paper under Penny Hardaway, as opposed to what that 2019-20 season would have been under Tubby Smith. I mean, it's not even a comparison. One is going to be preseason top 25, and the other was going to be perhaps the worst Memphis team we've seen in a long, long time, even worse than the Memphis team Tubby coached last season. So the records are the same. That is a fact. But context matters when it comes to these conversations, and the idea that I don't think any basketball program in America has changed its circumstances over the past year more than the University of Memphis men's basketball program. I guess I'd bottom line it that way.
Yeah, and you would know better than anybody else. So you talked about it for a quick second. Let's go back to it. The AAC tournament starts this week here in Memphis. The brackets are all set. We know what's at stake for the Tigers. Got to win 4 in 4 days. Then you're off to the NCAA tournament, or most likely then to the NIT. So let's just chalk it up that, God forbid they lose to Tulane on Thursday, and it's a very different story. But so you get by Tulane, then you're probably looking at number 4 Temple, which would be a winnable game. They split this year. Memphis won at home, I would imagine, and you're the odds guy, so you would tell me. I would imagine they'd be a favorite in that game. Then you've got probably top-seeded Houston, so they'd probably be a slight underdog there. And then if you get by them, somehow you're looking at, I don't know, Cincinnati or UCF in the title game, and maybe that one's really close. A couple close games with Cincinnati this year. Very doable, though. A little bit of luck. Like, if you're trying to be, you know, Johnny Optimist or Positive Paul, as Josh Pastner used to say, you could talk yourself into it, right?
You can talk yourself into it. I mean, let's just start with Thursday. They're going to play Tulane inside FedEx Forum on ESPNU. And, you know, considering Tulane's 4-26, you know, went winless in the AAC, you've got to assume that if you're Memphis and you're inside FedEx Forum, or really anywhere
mm-hmm.
On the planet, you knock that out.
Yeah.
And then what that means is that on Friday afternoon, Memphis would play UCF, because UCF is the 4 seed after Temple
yeah.
was able to get a win this weekend, and then Wichita State beat Tulane, which gives the tiebreaker to Temple over UCF. And that's actually, like, not a great thing for Memphis. Now, Memphis has beaten both these teams inside FedEx Forum, Temple and UCF, but from a computer perspective, from a rankings perspective, Memphis would have a better chance of beating Temple inside FedEx Forum than it would beating UCF inside FedEx Forum, although I would assume that Memphis would be favored against either team. I know Memphis would be favored against Temple inside FedEx Forum. Against UCF, the Sagarin numbers actually make Central Florida about a 1-point favorite, but Given the way Memphis has played lately, given that Memphis has already played this team inside FedEx Forum, beat them by 20, given that Memphis was a slight favorite the first time these teams played in FedEx Forum, that was at the end of January, I think Memphis is probably a favorite, just a slight favorite, but a slight favorite over UCF on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you win that one, then you would play Houston in the semifinals, assuming, of course, Houston gets past its first game, and there's no reason to think that it wouldn't. And now you're probably about a four-and-a-half-point underdog to Kelvin Sampson's team. And, you know, listen, that means you're supposed to lose the game. I've never tried to twist this into anything other than exactly what it is, which is a realistic opportunity to win four games and punch a ticket to the NCAA tournament. But it's not a likely scenario. If you gave me $1,000 right now and said, bet it one way or the other, Memphis will win the tournament or not, I'd just say no, because you know, they're not the best team in this league. They're not probably one of the two best teams in this league. But they do have a home court advantage, and that's mm-hmm. that's a real thing that the numbers suggest makes this at least something worthy of talking about. And if you're Penny Hardaway, I don't like the coaching cliches, not that he uses, but that coaches typically use about take it one game at a time. But I do think if you try to wrap your head around winning four, it gets a little – it just becomes a little too much to make sense of. You just really do take it one game at a time. On Thursday, we're playing Tulane. We got to win this game. Boom, we knocked it out. Okay, what's next? We're playing UCF on Friday afternoon. Okay, we played them twice this year. They beat us down there. We beat them here. But we had a chance down there. They had no chance inside FedEx Forum. Mm-hmm. We can win this game. Go win that game. Okay, boom. Now you're playing Houston. Okay, this team's the best team in the league. Top 10 team, just destroyed Cincinnati at Cincinnati. We're an underdog here, but we got home court advantage, probably going to be 15, 16,000 fans in the building. It's not impossible. It's not crazy. If Memphis were to beat Houston on Friday, if Memphis and Houston play on Friday, I mean on Saturday, if Memphis and Houston are to play on Saturday, I'll tell you this, it won't be a top three upset, top five upset in college basketball on that Saturday. So it's not crazy. And then, of course, you win that one. Now it's like, all right, we've already won three. We just beat the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter whether we're playing Temple or Cincinnati or somebody else. It's a winnable game. And so more than anything, it just makes for a fun week. You know, that building's going to be fun on Thursday. And mm-hmm. if Memphis plays on Friday, it's going to be fun on Friday. And it's one of the things I've talked about with the Grizzlies forever. Even in that run of consecutive Western Conference playoff appearances, even if they were never going to win a championship and, you know, rarely, you know, go to the Western Conference Finals, you know, not advance just as often as they do advance, you still get these moments where you got a big-time, high-stakes basketball game in downtown Memphis, and the city flocks into that building, and everybody has something that they're paying attention to. The Tigers are going to provide that this week. And given where the program's been in recent years, that's a good thing for Memphis fans and for the city in general.
So I was thinking about this earlier. Jeremiah Martin named to the American Conference first team today. No surprise there. Maybe not going to win the Player of the Year, but an amazing finish to his season and to his career. Because I was thinking back to his freshman year. You may recall the game. Kind of like the dagger for the Josh Pastner era when he took that ugly corner three against East Carolina and they got beat by the Pirates. And that kind of, I mean, the ball was kind of already rolling, like, what's going on here? But that seemed to be like the beginning of the end for Josh. So Jeremiah coming from that and being a guy that's averaged 2 points a game as a freshman to a guy that averages 19 for the year, 23 in conference play or whatever, as important to his team as any one Tiger had been to their team. And I don't know how long. You've been around this program a long time. You covered him with the Commercial Appeal, obviously what you're doing with CBS. Who would you compare his career to? Would it be like an Andre Turner in that it started out not great for Andre and then he turned into what he turned into? Would that be a decent comparison, or is there somebody better?
I don't know that there's an apples-to-apples comparison because, you know, how many Memphis basketball players – in history have played for three different coaches.
That's a good point.
It really might be one. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked it up, but it really might be one. Somebody listening probably does know the answer to that. It might be just Jeremiah Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think there's so many interesting aspects to the past 4 years of Jeremiah Martin's career. You know, he comes here, again, like the seventh or eighth best prospect in a Memphis class. Like, he was just a guy. He wasn't even supposed – like, when we talked about Memphis freshmen getting ready to enroll, nobody talked about Jeremiah Martin, even though he was a local, accomplished product. Mm-hmm. It was just – he wasn't the focus of anything. He was never – the question about Jeremiah Martin wasn't – you know, the question right now is, can he lead Memphis to an NCAA tournament? The question back then was, like, can he ever play at Memphis? Will he ever be good enough? Because with the way Memphis had recruited historically and you know, under Josh Pastner, even in, you know, the times where they were about to get bad, suggested that a sub 150, wherever he was ranked coming out of high school, prospect, like, isn't going to turn into anything useful. Like, maybe a role player at best. I think that's what you were hoping for. And not only does he turn into way more than a role player, he turns into one of the best players in the American Athletic Conference. And I don't know that – I mean, I don't think he's going to win AAC Player of the Year. I would assume that's either somebody from Houston or Jaron Cumberland. But he could reasonably win AAC Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. And when he says, I think I'm the best player in the league, it's not outlandish. You know, it's rooted in some real stuff. And I think he can reasonably make that claim. And so to go from – you know, point A to point B, and go from that place to this place while enduring, you know, ups and downs that nobody could have imagined. You know, the coach who recruits you leaves. He's replaced by another coach who is fired after 2 years, and then next thing you know, you're playing for Penny Hardaway. I mean, that's a lot. You know, some people would have transferred. He's acknowledged that he considered it. But he stuck it out and has had an incredible senior year, at least an incredible second half of his senior year. And it was nice to see him get that ovation inside FedEx Forum on Saturday, because if anybody deserves it, it's certainly him. He's going to, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, I don't know that I thought Jeremiah Martin was going to carve out his place among Memphis basketball players in terms of really leaving a legacy and really, you know, being a fond memory for so many. But he's undeniably spent the past couple of months doing that, and it's been an awesome story. I wish that Memphis were better so that it could get the type of national attention it deserves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because typically for you to be recognized on a national level, you need to be playing for, you know, a top 25 team. But everybody in Memphis knows the story, and lots of people outside of Memphis knows the story. He's really – people always talk about wanting to go out playing your best, and not everybody does it, but he certainly has.
Talking with Gary Parrish up in New York City, Matt Stark in studio today. All right, GP, let's jump to the NBA and the Grizz. They have suddenly won three straight. Team convey that pick is looking pretty good. Just a game and a half now out of the ninth worst record spot, with two train wrecks in front in New Orleans and the Lakers. And today, Mike Conley picking up the Western Conference Player of the Week award. He's been balling out and looking like a refreshed, rejuvenated Mike Conley. You think they can pass either one of these teams with 14 games to go? I mean, the math breaks down. It's going to be tough. I got the Grizz in the 14 games, did some math on it. I had them going 6-8, which would mean the Lakers or Pelicans need to go somewhere around 4-10, which I don't think is out of the question for either one of them. You think it happens, yay or nay?
I think it can. You know, I've got a file that I update every morning with, Knicks at 13, Suns and Cavs at 16, Bulls at 19, Hawks 23, Mavericks, Wizards at 27. I'm, of course, referencing wins, Grizzlies at 28. Mm-hmm. And then, as you mentioned, Pelicans, Lakers, Hornets, all at 30. So, really, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to catch them all. You just got to get one of them to go lower than you. And so, yeah, I think it's possible, particularly with the way Mike's playing right now. And some of these teams are completely just going through the motions. You know, Brandon Ingram is now done for the season. Lonzo Ball done for the season. LeBron demoralized, minutes restriction going forward, not going to play in back-to-backs. You know, the Pelicans have the Anthony Davis situation that's just awkward and uncomfortable, whereas the Grizzlies really do seem like they're not just playing out the schedule. You know, I think Mike is a little rejuvenated, possibly because, I don't know, the whole Marc Gasol thing, he's an interesting personality. I'll just leave it at that. And I know that Mike and Mark are close, but Mike seems, I don't know, the team seems to be playing with a different spirit post-trade deadline. And you got a lot of guys, whether it's Joakim Noah or Mike Conley, veterans on teams that are in the lottery, I don't want to say start mailing it in, but they just don't play with the same type of energy and joy because it's miserable to be playing out a season in this way. But you wouldn't know that Memphis isn't in a playoff. Like, if you were just watching the game yesterday and you didn't know anything about the standings, you didn't know anything about nothing, you were just watching the way that team played and the emotion and the expression and the celebration, you wouldn't know that that's a team that's got no chance of going to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You would think, oh, wow, they're in a playoff race.
Yeah.
And when you are playing out the season with that kind of energy and enthusiasm and joy, and then you're going to have a chance to pass some of these other teams because they're just not. There's nothing joyful about what's happening in New Orleans right now or with the Lakers mm-hmm. right now. And so that's a long-winded way of saying a week ago I did not think the Grizzlies were going to be able to get to ninth from the bottom. But now I think it's very, very possible, and obviously it's ideal for all the reasons we talked about before. If you're ninth, the only things that can happen are that you either convey the pick or you pick in the top four. That's it. You know, there's no picking sixth and having to put off giving your pick to Boston for another year or two. If you finish ninth, only good things can happen, and that's where the Grizzlies ought to be.
How much credit should we be giving to the birthday boy, J.B. Bickerstaff, who celebrated his, I think it was his 40th yesterday? He's gotten these guys on the same page, and as we just went over, like, they're playing hard. It looks like they're having fun again, which, you know, obviously winning and being competitive, well, that certainly helps. But a lot of new parts in there, and, man, Avery Bradley's looking good. Valanciunas has looked really good, particularly offensively. Should we give J.B. much of the credit, or is he getting pretty much, you know, the amount of credit that he deserves?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much credit people are giving him, but I will say, just on a very basic level, if you're going to blame the coach for bad things, then I think it's only fair to give the coach credit for good things. And what's happened over these at least past three games has been good. And it's not easy, you know, as you point out, to get guys to play together and play with enthusiasm when they are, you know, on some level playing for nothing. I know the franchise, there's big stakes for the franchise because they're trying to convey the pick. But I don't know that Avery Bradley cares whether the Grizzlies convey their pick or not.
Yep.
So it doesn't mean as much to the players as it means to the franchise, because a large portion of this roster, we don't know what their future is with this franchise, you know, whether it exists or not, Mike Conley included. And so, you know, fans have a real rooting interest, because no matter who's on the roster next season, Grizzlies fans are going to be Grizzlies fans. So you want what's best for the Grizzlies. And conveying the pick, I think most of us agree, is what's best. I know that's what the franchise agrees with. But the players are, you know, they're not as invested in that as the franchise is, as fans are. But they're still playing. You know, they're playing hard, and they're playing with energy, and they're playing with joy, which I think is very important. Like, March NBA games among lottery teams, or even sometimes teams that aren't in the lottery, it can start to feel like, yeah, let's get to the end of the season if you're a lottery team, or if you're the Warriors, let's just get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I'm done with this.
Yep.
I mean, you saw last night the Warriors lost to the Suns, right?
Yep.
They don't seem to be playing with any joy or energy, and so the idea that the Grizzlies are, when the Warriors aren't and when other lottery teams aren't, like, that is worth something. And it's the most obvious thing that's going to give them a chance to actually, you know, get to a place where, again, only good things can happen. You either convey your pick to Boston, or you get a shot at Zion Williamson or R.J. Barrett or John Morant or Cam Reddish or whomever. And it's been a fun thing to watch in a season where there hasn't been a whole lot of fun things to watch, whether it was Mike Conley's 40-point game the other night, or, you know, the way they won that game yesterday. We've had some interesting and fun moments over the past week or so, and I would not have anticipated that a month ago.
Listen, you're a good man for going along with us. Real quick, before we let you go, what's the game of the night for the college basketball, the casual college basketball fan, that you want to see tonight, GP?
Well, you get, first off, I'm in Charleston at the CAA tournament.
In New York.
I will be in New York very shortly.
That's
but I'm
probably
in Charleston.
Right. It's so confusing. Yeah. I can't keep track of you. You're like Waldo, man.
Dude, I don't know where I am half the time. So I'm in Charleston now. CAA tournament semifinals are today. Our first game tips off at 5 Central, so not too long from now. Delaware against Hofstra, and then it's Charleston Northeastern. Both games on CBS Sports Network. Championship game is tomorrow. But if you're looking for, and I really do think these are the most fun games of Championship Week, like the title games of the one bid tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, by the time we get to the championship game of the ACC tournament or the Big Ten tournament or the SEC tournament, it's almost always two teams that are going to be in the NCAA tournament no matter what.
Right.
I mean, it's every once in a while you'll get, like, a, you know, 11th place Georgia is now playing for an auto bid in the SEC championship game, but that rarely happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually going to be in the ACC, and here's Virginia against North Carolina, or here's Duke against Virginia, you know, whatever it is. So the stakes aren't as high. I mean, yeah, they're playing for a trophy, and they're playing to cut some nets, and they're playing possibly for a different seed in the NCAA tournament, but it ain't life or death from a basketball perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But the one bid conference tournament finals, I mean, from a basketball perspective, it's life or death. Like UNC and Greensboro, I mean, UNC, Greensboro, and Wofford are going to play tonight. That game is on ESPN at 6 o'clock, and it's the championship game of the Southern Conference tournament. For UNC, Greensboro, the stakes are obvious. You win it, you go to the NCAA tournament. You lose it, you do not go to the NCAA tournament. And so I just think the drama of those types of games are always a lot of fun. And so that's why I'm looking forward to being here at the CAA tournament final tomorrow night, because I will have that same kind of drama. And I've been to a whole bunch of conference basketball tournaments over my career. I've never been to a one-bid tournament because why would I go unless I'm working it, and I'm working it from a TV perspective this year. So, you know, whether it's Hofstra and Charleston or Hofstra and Northeastern, tomorrow night I will watch two teams play, and the winner will get to go to the NCAA tournament, like really fulfill a dream, and the loser will be reduced to something less than that. And so you get that tonight on TV with Greensboro and Wofford. Now Wofford, ranked 20th in the country, even if they lose, they're going to be an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament, and that would turn the Southern Conference into a two-bid league.
Mm-hmm.
But for Greensboro, it's win, get your 29th victory of the season and go to the NCAA tournament, or get your 6th loss of the season and, you know, play in the NIT or something less than that. So I'm a big fan of this week for those purposes. So that game's fun. And then if you want to see the number one team in the country play, that's Gonzaga tonight, 8 o'clock. They're playing Pepperdine in the West Coast Conference semifinals.
8 o'clock. That's right in my wheelhouse. I don't have to stay up too late. Hey, we appreciate your time today, GP. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Enjoy Charleston.
All right, brother. I see you. Bye.
Gary Parrish on the road. Matt Stark in today, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
Fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the f*** you expect?
We failed to mention at the top of the show, by the way, that not only am I in today, but that Ben Hogan is across the glass today. Benjamin, good to see you, my man.
What's going on, man? It's been a long time.
It has. I see you wearing your Raiders shirt today. All the Raider fans coming out of the woodwork because you signed a couple guys. Woo!
Yeah, we do this every, like, 5 years. We get excited about some big-time signings.
When's the parade again?
Hopefully next February.
I like the Antonio Brown signing. Clearly, all you gave up was third and a fifth. Thought that was great.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he turns out to be a psychopath. I don't know, but he can catch the football. Like, I would have liked to have him annoying.
I gave up a fourth
but
for Randy Moss.
That wasn't going to work. As for Trent Brown, like, he's good. I don't know if he's highest offensive paid lineman in the game good, but that's how it's going. Patriots lost the highest offensive paid tackle in the league 2 years in a row. Nate Solder a year ago to the Giants, who struggled. Trent Brown, he was good.
Right. Well, the Raiders have like, money to spend, so they're going to do what they always do. They're just.
But what
throw
did I see
around.
Today about Le'Veon Bell? That they didn't have enough actual cash to sign Le'Veon Bell. Like, not under the cap. I'm talking actual cash. They didn't have money.
Well, that's fine. They'll figure it out. They got enough draft picks to figure other things out right
All
now.
All right. Well, it's good to have you back. It's nice to see a Raiders shirt, I guess. Like, whatever. I like mine better. 6X champions. Hey, let's get back into talking some hoops with Drew Hill, Memphis Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. He is on Twitter at @DrewHill_CL. C-A, that is. Drew, Matt Stark here. How are you doing today?
What's going on? How are you?
Oh, man, appreciate your time. We're just a little reunion show, me and Ben Hogan here. And then earlier Gary and I were talking about Jeremiah Martin and the remarkable year that he has had. And we were wondering if any Tiger had played for three head coaches in 4 years, because if you think about it, like, most of them all been here for a while. And Scott Morton off of Twitter mentions that Marcus Moody played for Larry Finch, Tick Price, Johnny Jones, and then Calipari. So I don't know if that's accurate. I'm just reading what – it's on the internet, so it's got to be real. But anyway, there's maybe an answer to a trivia question. So let me ask you this, Drew. Jeremiah Martin, named to the AAC first team today, unanimous selection. Do you think he's done enough to overcome Memphis's fifth-place finish in the league for him to win the Player of the Year?
Yeah, this is something that I think is really interesting, and I think it's really interesting to sort of examine the all-conference team that came out today,
mm-hmm.
because the two players alongside of Jeremiah Martin that were unanimously selected were Jaron Cumberland and Corey Davis. And, of course, those are the best players on Houston and on Cincinnati,
yep.
the two best teams in the league. And then Jeremiah comes in, and he's unanimous as well. But what was interesting to me was that Shiz Alston on Temple was not unanimous, and he is tied with Jeremiah atop the league in scoring. So for me to see that, I don't think it's necessarily a coincidence that he wasn't unanimous in that, you know, Jeremiah and the two players on the two best teams in the conference are the three unanimous guys. But I also think that with the coaches voting, and that shows that the coaches voted right there.
Mm-hmm.
But with the coaches voting, he is going to have a lot to overcome, because I do think coaches, maybe not you or me, but coaches are a little bit more inclined to vote for the best player on the best team,
yep.
Especially if they beat them several times during the season, where mm-hmm. Jeremiah's run has been incredible. If I had a vote, I'd vote for Jeremiah Martin, but I don't, and the coaches vote on this. And so I think, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle for him to overcome.
It's an amazing ride that he's been on, not just this year, not just lately, as he's just been scoring in bunches, but the entire body of work. So senior day the other day, the mayor proclaimed it Jeremiah Martin Day, for Pete's sakes. Not many would have seen that coming. So he kind of came in, and I know this is before your time in Memphis, but he was an unheralded recruit coming out of high school. He had an accomplished high school career, but it just didn't translate into any sort of recruiting hype. Had a rough freshman year. I was talking about Gary earlier, that the thing I remember most from freshman year from Jeremiah Martin is the three-pointer against East Carolina from the corner, which was just an ugly-looking shot that I think he would admit to all these years later. That led to a stunning loss to East Carolina, which really kind of got the whole ball rolling on the really it's time for Josh Pastner to go thing, which, of course, led to Tubby and, of course, then led to Penny. So it's been fun to watch him grow as a hometown kid that stayed home and went through everything that he went through on and off the court between the different coaches, and from a city that just really had kind of tapped out on Tiger basketball by and large. I mean, there you still had your hardcore fans, but, I mean, you know, there was nobody in the stands. They weren't embracing the team the way that they have, starting with, you know, whatever they called Memphis Madness this year. I know it wasn't Madness, but it was starting with that night to the ovation that he got yesterday. I know he talked about loyalty. It looks like, and you tell me, like, he soaked it all in this year and finally was able to appreciate and kind of get the love from the city that like, the hometown Tigers generally always get without exception.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I was thinking about it this morning. So before the season started, I wrote a big story on Jeremiah where I talked to his former coach, and I even talked to, you know, pastor at his church, and you know, just a lot of people, important people in his life, to talk about what the senior season was going to mean to him. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of the story is, okay, this is Jeremiah Martin's chance to cement his legacy at Memphis by leading this team to the NCAA tournament, getting that NCAA tournament at birth in Penny's first year, and that's how he's going to cement his legacy with the Tigers, and people are going to remember him. Well, it turns out that he's pretty much already done that, I feel like, even without going to the NCAA tournament, because I don't think anybody could see this incredible February coming. And he gave plenty of memorable he had plenty of memorable moments on that stretch, too. Like, how could anyone forget him scoring 41 points at South Florida in a half? Like, that just doesn't happen. And then they go to UCF, and they lose a close game, and it's not even what he does on the court. And, I mean, the storylines for the next week are Jeremiah Martin says, I'm the best player in the league. Penny's the best coach in the league. We're the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. And then he backs it up by coming out and scoring 43 and breaking a conference record for points in a game. So, you know, no matter what it's been this year, on the court, off the court, NCAA tournament bid or not, Jeremiah Martin, you know, has pretty much solidified himself as a player that Memphis fans are going to remember for a really long time. And I think that admiration poured out at senior night, and that was great to see with everybody giving him an ovation that was well-deserved.
Talking with Drew Hill, he writes for the Commercial Appeal, covers the Memphis Tigers as their beat writer. And I saw, I guess, barring something unforeseen, as in him not scoring many points, he'll pass CDR and move into, I believe it was the top 10 on the career point total for University of Memphis. So some pretty heady company for Mr. Martin. All right, let's talk about that tournament bracket. So Tigers going to open with, and if they don't thump Tulane, Drew, I'm not sure what's going wrong. Green Wave winless in the league this year, so there's really no reason to anticipate any sort of a problem on Thursday, which then gets you to UCF. As you know, they split this year. Tigers destroyed them at home. And then it's either Houston, well, likely Houston, and then either Cincy or Temple in the final. 4 wins, 4 days. Against that schedule, particularly the last three of those, not going to be easy, but you've got the whole home court thing that just can't be overlooked. I mean, Memphis went 15-2 at the Forum this year. They're a different team at home. You get that crowd behind them, you start picking up some momentum with a win or two in the tournament, and it's not impossible, right? Like, we're not talking about Mission Impossible here, are we, Drew?
No, we're not talking about Mission Impossible at all. And they should, and I agree with what Gary said earlier on the show, that this is a one game at a time type of deal. But that, man, that semifinal matchup, if they do get there and have to play Houston, is going to be tough.
Yep.
But it's hard to imagine that that won't be the best atmosphere all season long if they do get there for that game. And Houston, they would be favored in the game. Most people would think that they're going to win. If I had to guess who's going to win the conference tournament, if you asked 100 people to guess who's going to win the conference tournament, yeah, I bet close to 90 of them would probably tell you Houston, because they've been so good this year. Their margin of victory is like 14 points or something. They've been dominant.
Right.
But that doesn't change the fact that Memphis at home has a chance to play with anyone. We saw them play with Cincinnati. I mean, they really had a chance to beat them in that game. They were up big, and they sort of let Cincinnati climb back in it and got down, and that was it. Tennessee is an exceptional team. Tennessee is probably better than Houston, and they played Tennessee tough for most of that game as well. So we've seen that it's completely possible. Now, winning 4 in a row is going to be very difficult, but I think once you get those first two under your belt, especially if you beat a team like UCF, a team that just beat Houston, you're going to be feeling good going into those games. And if you beat Houston and UCF, I mean, that's 2 quad 1 wins based on where those two teams are in the net. So I'm not saying that an at-large bid is possible. It doesn't look that way. But confidence-wise and net-wise, they would soar up the rankings. So, yeah, I mean, it's possible. It's possible. I wouldn't rule it completely out, but it is going to be tough.
Tyler Harris named to the All-Conference freshman team today. Who do you think needs to have a more impactful AAC tournament for them to get 4 wins in 5 days? 4 wins in 4 days. Tyler or Keevan Davenport? Who's more important in your estimation at this time of year?
That's funny. I thought you were going to ask me in general, and I was going to tell you Keevan Davenport. So I would say Keevan Davenport. I think you sort of know what you're going to get from Tyler, or Memphis realizes what they're going to get from Tyler at this point. He's going to shoot a high volume of three-pointers, and he's going to make a lot, and he's going to miss a lot of them as well. So you just hope that, you know, he can make 3 or 4 a game, and it gives you a boost on offense. And he's been great in his role. I mean, I don't think anyone is really complaining about what Tyler's done this year. But Keevan, it just feels like there's so much potential there that it just hasn't been there the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the story of Keevan's season, unfortunately. Yeah. I think at home he's a different player. He's been better at home. Maybe his confidence isn't where it was in December and January when Penny was calling him unstoppable. But, yeah, Penny's made the point too. Penny, when we asked, you know, who are the two guys that down the stretch are going to be the most important, he pointed out Keevan, and he also pointed out Antoine Jones, who mm-hmm. I also think will be important. And he has played a lot more minutes as of late. Probably more minutes than a lot of people expected after he had that foot injury. But he's been good, too, and he's one of their best distributors and passers. So, yeah, between Antoine and Keevan, I think those are the two guys to key on.
Wrapping up with Drew Hill, who writes for the Commercial Appeal, covering the Memphis Tigers. What did we learn about Penny? I mean, the year's not done yet. You got the tournament coming up, and then maybe the NIT, I would assume, is the next logical landing spot if they don't make it into the NCAAs. What did we learn about Penny this year in terms of X's and O's? I think we all knew and assumed he was going to be good at recruiting, and he's certainly been great at that. In terms of the X's and O's and what you've been able to watch from your spot right on the floor next to him, what have you learned about him?
Yeah, I mean, it is very interesting. His coaching style is, I don't want to say laid back because he's not laid back, but he's not extremely animated on the sidelines. Which, you know, I think the players like that style, and he's definitely a player's coach, and that sort of fits. What I think has been interesting, because a lot of coaches will tell you that they want to play fast, but it's a totally different thing to actually play fast versus a coach say they want to play fast. For example, you know, Tubby Smith last year said he wanted to play fast. He was going to play an up-tempo game, but Memphis just didn't do that. And I feel like that's the case a lot of places, and that is not the case at Memphis. They have played fast all year. They're top 10 in tempo and KenPom. And I think that style is really what the kids want to play these days. It's what Penny used at the AAU level, and it's been successful here. Memphis is scoring more points than anybody else in the conference. So I think that says a lot about Penny's coaching style, and to be able to do that is definitely exciting. It's a more exciting brand of basketball than the last few years, that's for sure.
Listen, Drew, appreciate your time today, man. We'll do it again down the road.
Yep, anytime.
Thanks. Drew Hill from the Commercial Appeal covering your Memphis Tigers. I'm excited for the tourney, Ben. I mean, again, 4 wins in 4 days against that level of competition, clearly not going to be easy. As Drew mentioned, Houston was just simply destroying people this year. But you're on your home floor. You get that crowd behind you. Maybe Houston feels a little bit of the pressure, some of the nerves, something like that. You know how it is. You get that first game out of the way, and then, you know, who knows? All bets are off. It'd be fun to watch, though.
You know, the crowd is definitely going to play a factor.
Yeah, what time is that would be the second game, though? Is that an afternoon or early evening? Because, you know, Memphis.
I think it is. I
thought it was like 3 o'clock.
I think it is.
I'm not a huge fan of that, but I'm sure it'll be a big enough crowd, so it shouldn't matter.
3-day weekend for folks going into St. Patrick's Day, maybe.
That's true. Good point right there, Ben. Good point. St. Patrick's Day, go root on your Tigers. Hey, Jeff Calkins is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.